As Charles and I often do, we want to encourage you to take a look at the prayer focus often. A lot of names on there, a lot of folks hurting. Folks, again, in our church family have lost their loved ones this week. Folks in our church family have loved ones at the very edge of eternity. And so we continue to ask you and encourage you to look at the prayer focus and be in prayer for those. We apologize we don't get everybody's name on there that perhaps needs prayer, but we want to continue to lift each other up in prayer. And I want to invite Marie Rose here. All of you know pretty well, I think everybody knows Marie, to share with you one more prayer request of a very close personal friend of hers, and then she's going to lead us in prayer.
Thank you. Okay. Yesterday I got a text from a friend in Washington State. I've worked with her quite a bit, mostly in Thailand, sometimes in Pakistan, sometimes in Afghanistan. I've worked with that ministry. One of the women who works for that ministry, where her name is M, she's Thai. Her name is actually about 15 syllables long. We couldn't say it. We called her M. M has been working in anti-trafficking initiatives for a very long time, and now she has disappeared. She texted her sister and said she thought her life was in danger, and then she was arrested. The police in this part of the world, her part of the world, if they don't go with the bad guys, they'll get killed. I mean, it's such a complicated and distressful mess. You hardly know who the good guys and the bad guys are. Sadly, that part of Thailand, lots of people are trafficked. It's on a peninsula. You know, you just go off on a boat. And sadly, the people trafficked out of there, the Thai girls, are brought here. So I'd like to pray today for my friend M, for her family, and also for America, that there won't be a market here for those mm-hmm. girls. Mm-hmm. So, Father in heaven, I lift up my dear friend to you and ask, Father, for your hand to protect her and guide her, to give her much grace and strength wherever she is. And, Lord, if she's with you, I just thank you that she is there. Lord, only you know where she's at and what's going on with her. And we pray, Lord, that you would protect her, that she would feel the prayers of her brothers and sisters from America, from all over the world. People are praying for her. Lord, I pray for her captors. I pray for those people will come to know you in a mighty and powerful way. And I pray, Lord, for our country that we would not have an appetite for such a thing as human trafficking. God in heaven, I pray for your hand to cleanse our country, cleanse the West in general, that will not need to happen. Father, I thank you that you are all-powerful and you know all things. And Lord, we just lift her up to you and ask in Jesus' name that you protect her. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marie. The prayer of saints is a powerful thing. Amen? And I hope that you have a regular prayer life in your daily lives, in your weekly lives. I want to mention to you two opportunities for corporate prayer that are still happening here every week. On Wednesday at noon, ladies come into the sanctuary here and pray every Wednesday at noon. And then at 6:30 on Saturday, we have another prayer group that comes into the sanctuary and we pray again. I believe in prayer. I believe God answers prayer. And I believe when people cry out and travail in prayer, things happen. And so whether it's the names on our prayer focus, whether it's the communities which we live, whether it's this nation, or whether it's this lady Marie calls M, who has been stolen by captives, and who knows, only God knows where, I believe in prayer. And so I guess my point is I want to encourage you, keep praying. As Pastor Les always used to say, we got to pray through. Even if we're not seeing answers or sensing direction, we've got to keep praying and keep the faith and keep trusting that God is going to intervene in His way, in His time. Now, today is the first Sunday of the month, first Sunday of the new year. First Sundays we celebrate communion, and we're going to do that. But I want to start a new series today of sorts. In this series, I've called it Using Our Talents, Using Our Gifts. And basically what it boils down to is I'm going to be encouraging us for this next month, for the entire congregation, the entire church body, to be the complete body that God can and wants to use for His glory. So over this next month or so, we are going to inject a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in a couple of weeks, but over the next month or so, I plan to show us, scripturally speaking, how important it is for each of us that has been born again, that has been filled with the Spirit, to contribute to the kingdom of God and to the advancing of His kingdom. Now, I suppose it's possible that that might give some of you heartburn because it might seem like, oh, that means I got to do something. I'm going to show us from Scripture how important you are. I am going to show us from Scripture over the next month how the body of believers, this congregation, we make up a particular body, but we are just a little part of the larger body of followers of Jesus Christ. But I am going to show us from Scripture how important each and every person that has given their life completely to Christ, how important you really are, how necessary you are, how needful you are. I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 today, so if you've got your Bible, I'd encourage you to open it up. It will be on the big screen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, which is a very good translation, very accurate translation, and in this particular case, very easy to understand translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so while you're turning there, I want to get you to think about a word, a picture. Get a picture in your mind for a moment. Now, I know that everybody's not any musicians or musically minded. I found that out the first service when I asked them if you like music. Almost nobody raised their hand. But I think you can relate either to music in some fashion or the factory setting or a business setting of some kind. So let me give you a couple examples. I'm trying to set the stage here. When you go to listen to a concert, say it's a choir concert, you know that you have the choir director, and you know that you have the tenors and the bass and the altos and the sopranos and maybe a few other sections, but you have those for sure. It's not the conductor that's going to bring to you all the music, but he's going to conduct the musicians to bring you music. Okay, so you've got the picture, right? You've all been to a concert of some kind. I worked in the factory for 20 years as a production manager, and if the factory was only a production manager, nothing would get done. It needs people from A to Z doing what they do in each category to see that it starts properly, it ends properly, eventually the customer gets its product. Yes, there is a CEO, yes, there is a plant manager, but there is a whole lot of the team that makes it all happen. Are you getting the picture? Orchestra, choir, businesses, work with me here. You getting the picture? Yeah, good, okay. It's the same in the church. Now you're getting heartburn, aren't you? Charles has probably heard it. I've heard it. You've probably heard it said to the pastor or to the paid staff, well, that's what we pay you for. I am going to show us that if the church was just made up of a pastor, it's not a church at all. The church is made up of us. And God has poured into us gifts. We'll see this in 1 Corinthians 12. To be used for the glory of God. If the church was just a pastor, it'd be boring. But He has called together us to advance His kingdom, to build each other up, to hold each other accountable, to love one another, to love our neighbors, and yes, to love those that are lovable. He has called us together to advance the kingdom. You recall the great commandment, do you not? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus wasn't just telling that to the first century people. He's telling us in the 21st century the same thing. That's not just a pastor's role. That's believer's role. Love my neighbor as myself, regardless of who they are. Jesus was not just talking to the 12 when he gave us the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He wasn't just talking to them 12. He's not just talking to pastors and priests today. He's talking to the church. And so over the course of this month, I want to show us how vitally important the church is and how it functions best when everyone is contributing using the gifts that God has given to each of us. I discovered, and perhaps you did too, coming down the street this morning when the street was blocked for about 3 blocks, that we didn't get done on time. Did you discover that? I had some people tell me, several people in fact say, what's going on here? The traffic's cleared down to BP. Well, I said a couple things. Number one, the songs were long. Number two, the preacher was long. And number three, we did communion. And so you add all them together and we didn't exactly get done on time. And we may not get done on time again now. But I'm telling you, friends, if the clock is determining our relationship with the living God, we better throw the clock away. I know and have been in churches, I'm respectful of your time and the clock, but when we have got things to celebrate and to rejoice about and to praise God about and to hear from God about, then we shouldn't let the clock dictate who we are in Christ. And so, I want to read some of 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll tell you right now, because we're here for communion today also, I'm not going to get very far in 1 Corinthians 12. But about 3 weeks from today, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to revisit it in detail and see some of the things that he's saying to us, the body of believers. So if you've got your Bible, let's take a look at some of it. 1 Corinthians 12, this is the New Living Translation. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us." I don't want you to misunderstand this, he says. "You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Sometime I want to spend a lot more time on the importance of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time for that today. Just know that the Holy Spirit is intimately involved in the church. Verse 4. "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. We all have at least a spiritual gift. Some have two or maybe even three. Some even may have more than that. But the Holy Spirit of God is the source of these gifts that He gives us. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us." Now listen, this is very important. "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." If you have come to that point in your life, you know you are a sinner who needs a Savior, and you have repented of your sin, and you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him by faith, that Jesus calls in John chapter 3 is being born again. If you haven't got to that point, I would urge you to check out John chapter 3. Check with Pastor Charles and myself so we can help you understand that. That must be first in our lives. Eternity depends on what we do with Jesus. That being said, when you embrace Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit of God comes into us because we have repented of sin. We have received faith. Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit of God comes into us, and the Bible says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. That makes sense, does it not? We need help sometimes. You need help, brothers and sisters, once in a while. I do too. And it makes sense that God, the Spirit, would impart to us these different gifts to work together for the glory of God and to help each other. It makes a lot of sense to me. And that's what Apostle Paul says happens. Then he gives us an example, some examples. Verse 8, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. In other words, some people are endowed with more wisdom than some of the rest. Have you noticed that, brothers and sisters? Sometimes that's spiritually speaking, sometimes not so much. But the Spirit of God, God's Spirit, actually gives some people more wisdom to discern godly things than others. Special knowledge. The Spirit of God will give some people a special understanding. They can just discern things better than some of the rest of us. And so these are gifts. These are very, very important gifts. And some within the church have them. Really, you do. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. These are gifts that are still God-breathed, if you will, for today. You know as well as I do, some people have greater faith than others. You can look at the Old Testament. You can look at David as the shepherd boy. He comes out and goes against a 9-foot giant called Goliath. He had this tremendous faith. You know as well as I do. Some people you encounter have a better measure of faith than you do. Some have better than I do. That is a gift of God. This extraordinary faith that spurs us on. God is going to be with us. We can do it. Makes sense, doesn't it? He still gives the gift of healing. Now, sometimes we want to give credit someplace when people get healed, but God is still imparting in people the gift of healing. I say hallelujah. And He is healing all over the globe. We may not see it as much in America because we might attribute that gift or that healing to something else. But God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Apostle Paul writes, some he gives the gift of healing, he means it. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. That is simply speaking about what God is going to do. And the Old Testament reminds us, a prophet is not a prophet unless he said what he said he prophesied comes true. There are still prophets. He said there are still people that will prophesy because they've been given this gift of the Holy Spirit to discern and to proclaim, God is going to do this. That's prophecy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. You're very aware we are in all-out spiritual war, are you not, brothers and sisters? You're very aware. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have His angels, and we have an enemy. We're very aware of that, are we not? And those followers of the enemy are at war against God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and His church. And the Bible says also in the letter to the Corinthians that the enemy can disguise himself as an angel of light. You probably read that. What does that mean? It means that sometimes the enemy will come at you with almost a whole truth, but there will be something about it that just doesn't seem right. The enemy likes to confuse and to confound. God has given some of us, some of you, the gift to discern. This is of God. This is not of God. Some have that gift because the enemy is clever. He comes at you below the radar, below the belt, to confuse. But God, in his wisdom, knows that the church needs somebody with those gifts and say, no, this is not of God. Listen again to the message. Does it line up with the scriptures? God gives some of you that gift to discern, is this from God or is this from the enemy? Lastly, he says there's still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages or tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I say thank you, Lord, for giving me a gift, giving you a gift to come together to advance the kingdom, to love each other, to build each other up, to love our neighbors. Now, I don't have any more time to continue on in chapter 12 because I want to spend a few minutes in communion. But I want to say this about chapter 12. And we will pick this up in chapter 12 again in about 3 weeks. If you read further there, you will see that the Apostle Paul starts to talk about the human body. And in his analogy, he uses the human body as a word picture to show the church how important every single person is. And so you can read about that in 1 Corinthians 12. It begins at verse 12, but I will pick it up for us in 3 weeks if you don't happen to. I would encourage you to read it anyway. But he shows us this picture of the body and how the body works best when it's all intact and all contributing. You know what I'm saying? You get your gallbladder yanked out like I had mine yanked out, something ain't going to work the same. You lose an arm in a farm accident or something, your body isn't going to work the same. It's the same with the church. Every one of us has a contribution to advance the kingdom. And if the arm wants to do its own thing and not in harmony, wants to be a little rebellious or whatever, the church isn't going to function like it could. If the foot says, you know what, I'm tired of being a foot, you carry yourself from now on. If that happens in the church with that person that has that gift, we're missing out on something because the foot is no longer contributing. He spells that all out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How vitally important it is for the whole body, the physical body, to function and be whole and be just right. And he equates it precisely with the church. We need you in the church, brothers and sisters. We need you. God has anointed you with something special to make the rest of us stronger. To be continued in a couple, 3 weeks. Also from Corinthians, because we are going to celebrate communion together, in the chapter just prior, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have these words again from the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. Now I'm reading from the NIV, but you know these words. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He said, do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then the Apostle Paul, in this particular passage, you know it, you've read it before, I've read it to you, talks about examining ourselves and coming to the table in a manner worthy. Have we repented of sin? Have we claimed Christ as Lord? Have we believed on him and received him by faith? And so we come to the communion table not as a denomination as people that have recognized Jesus. Jesus, the Savior who shed his blood for my sin and ours. And we do what Jesus instructed, and we do what the Apostle Paul instructed. When we do it, we take the bread and we take the cup. We do it to remember. Remember the love of God that poured out to us his Son. Remember the blood of Jesus, the broken body. Out of love, he went to the cross for our sins so we wouldn't have to die in our sin. We do this not as an act of salvation, to remember. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. We don't take communion for salvation. We take communion to remember what Jesus has done, what God has done. And so I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to invite a couple people to help me, and we'll pass out to you the elements and take them together. Let's pray. Gracious and eternal God, we love you. We need you. We thank you for this act, this plan to redeem humanity back to yourself through your Son. We've just celebrated Christmas. We've just celebrated the coming of your Son, the incarnate God. But what he came for was to die for our sin, to shed his blood once and for all to atone for our sin. And we thank you for that this morning, Heavenly Father. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the role that God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit has in the church today. We thank you for making it possible through this death. We can be reconciled to you, O God, if we will acknowledge our sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him by faith. We can be reconciled to you, O God, because of this act on the cross. And so as we gather around this communion table, the elements of bread and the cup, we come, Father, to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. Guide us as we partake of it together and help us to remember, as Jesus instructed, as the Apostle Paul instructed, help us to remember the sacrifice. Help us to remember the love. Help us to remember the grace. Help us to remember the blood, the brokenness of Jesus for us. All in an effort to redeem humanity back to the holy, living God. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's close in prayer. God, our Father, thank you for your institution called the church. Thank you that you, by your wisdom and grace and wise providence, pulled together 12 ordinary men whom Jesus instructed and walked with. And then you infused into them the Holy Spirit of God, and the church was born. And they took the message, the teachings of Jesus, to the uttermost parts of the earth, of which we are recipients in the 21st century. And so, Father, we thank you this day and this new year for the church. I pray for revival for the church. We all know that the church is not a building. The church is people who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And so I pray for the church, people in this town and the next, in this nation and the globe, that you would revive your people, O God, in 2019, and we would love you with a new passion. And we would love our neighbors as ourselves. And that we would actually be salt and light so those that hurt around us and haven't yet discovered Christ would see Jesus in the church and want to come by faith to Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Father, for this congregation, and really the congregations all over our region, our towns, but our region and our nation, that you would revive congregations, revive us in our spirit, and use us to bring glory to you, to bring the wayward to Christ, to bring encouragement where there's discouragement, to bring hope where there's hopelessness. Use your church, O God, to bring glory to you this year and always, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.